Oh, hallelujah. God is so good, and there's so many things that it's going on, I can't even keep up. The only thing we can do is hold on. You know, we got to hold on for what's happening and what's getting ready to happen. Praise God. You know, there's an area right now where the world is really in torment because of uncertainty. The world right now is held by uncertainty. They don't know what's happening, what's going on. Well, there is such an uncertainty in the world. And in that is where we don't want to be in an uncertainty, do we? You know, there are people doing a lot of things out there, trying to grab hold of what is certain, what is them, what's associated with them. You know, I want to share something very simple. And hold on to this. It isn't what you do. It's who you are. We have a tendency to try to reflect who we are and what we do. We first must know who we are to reflect what we do. It's not what you do that reflects who you are. It's who you are that reflects what you do. Does everybody understand that? And one of the things that the enemy always wants to do is steal your identity. He wants to bring you to you with all frustration and sorrow and trying to reestablish your old identity. See, we have a tendency to fight for our old identity instead of letting it go. And we don't even realize we're doing it. We have a tendency to try to fight for what we believe instead of fighting for His presence. You know, we are pre-approved. Has everybody got that? So you don't have to prove to anyone who you are if you know who you are. Because you're already pre-approved. Amen? Now, the Bible says we know them by their fruit, right? So you got to understand that association with unfruitful works of darkness is going to influence you. Did you ever notice that the world, there are what people call cliques. They're associations. Rebellious ones hang out with rebellious ones. Lust ones hang out with lust ones. And addicts hang out with addicts. You know what I'm saying? Because what they're doing is their spirits are being fed by one another. Does everybody get this? These demons that are in them are being fed by one another. So rebellion promotes rebellion, doesn't it? How about fear promotes fear? Hatred promotes hatred. You'll find out that there's certain clans and cliques that hang. And then there's those who are the righteous promotes righteous. The purpose of that is to expose works of ungodliness or works of darkness. Amen? So there's a place where either your heart is set towards the Lord and nothing else matters. You know, while we were worshiping, I had a vision. And in that vision, I saw a glorious cloud. And in this cloud, I walked out of this cloud. And He said, everyone will walk out of that cloud and stand before Me. And nobody will be in that room. Nobody. But you and Him. That's it. Just you and Him. And everything that is not under the blood will be put before you. Everything. See, there's no escape of lawlessness. There's no escape of unrighteousness. There's no escape of rebellion. There's no escape of the works of darkness. If you're still practicing them, there is no escape. It will be exposed. Did you ever notice the religious hang around the religious? Hello? then there's a difference between relationship and religion. So in this, God is trying to bring us to a place where something is manifested in me and you. And it's called freedom. The Lord desires that there be a manifesting of freedom from us. See, that's what separates us from the cliques, the clans. Somebody with me? From the religious, the rebellious. It separates. Why? Because there is a fruit that is called freedom. And that fruit of freedom is because it's produced by His character. One of the things that God wants to do is express Himself through us. Through us. Again, I always, you don't see those bracelets anymore about what would Jesus do. I think too many people got convicted and tore them up and threw them away. Because there's a lot of people out there wearing what would Jesus do, and they're not willing to do what would Jesus do. What decision would Jesus make? Amen? So in this, the Lord is trying to get us to a place where there is a manifestation of freedom. Of freedom. People are looking to be free. Many people don't even know what they're looking for. But it's actually freedom. Because there's something that the Word tells us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there's liberty. So if there is not freedom there, then the Spirit of the Lord is being rejected in certain parts of us. And one thing we don't want to do is reject the life of the Spirit in us. Because only the life of the Spirit of the Lord can express the life of Christ and manifest the fruit of freedom. That's the only way. Other than that, we are religious. We look about what we do. Well, I do this for God. That makes me holy. No, it doesn't. Well, I lay hands on the sick, I cast out. No, even the Lord said, those who have come before me think that they're going to be okay with Him, right? And He says, well, what did they do? Well, they laid hands on the sick, they cast out devils, they fed the poor, they did all of these things. They preached the gospel, but they were still practicing lawlessness. And you know what He said to them? Depart, I don't know you. But Lord, yeah, You used me, and I allow You to use me. But You still must stand before me as an individual and give account of everything, not by Your works, but by Your fruit. Even God will judge us by our fruit. Amen? Is everybody okay? In James chapter 4, manifesting freedom. James chapter 4. You know, isn't joy a freedom? You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. You know, if we're always examining ourselves, if we're judging ourselves, then we always put the Lord before us. And if we always put the Lord before us, we're able to accept His conviction, His counsel, and correction. Other than that, we reject it. Usually, He's got to use someone else to do it then. Is everybody okay? In other words, when we're not willing to do it, He uses someone else to do it. Because He's trying to build that relationship with us so that He's always before us, which is true relationship. Other than that, it's religion. And we don't need religion. We don't want to be determined about our works. We first must know who we are. And you're not going to know who you really are until you begin to hang out with Him. And so He must always be before us in everything. His presence will begin to impart in you his character. Why? Because associations bring impartations. Amen? In James chapter 4 and verse 6, would you read it with me? It says, but he gives what? More grace. Now, grace is nothing magical. It's nothing mystical. Grace is God's plan. Amen? And you're either cooperating with his plan or you're not. One or the other. And he's saying those, he likes to give more grace. He says, therefore, he says, he resists the proud. So is the proud going to get more from God or less? Less. In fact, God will stop releasing things to them. And they'll start working on the things of the old that they've had and not get anything new. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the what? Humble. In other words, he reveals more. More. More of what? More of his plan. And as he reveals more of his plan, there's a deeper relationship that begins to manifest. Why? Because when he begins to reveal more of his plan to me and you, there must be a closeness and relationship so that we don't miss what he's telling us or try and alter the plan that he's given us. Amen? And in that, there'll be a manifestation of freedom. Because there's even freedom in serving and doing his plan. And it says, verse 7, it says, therefore do what? Submit. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Submitting to God. Well, when you submit to God, there's usually something you do. One of the things is you invite him. You go to him. You ask him, is there something I can do for you? That's submitting to God. Submitting to God is not only submitting to him in waiting for commands to do, but submitting to his character, his attributes, his ethics. Does everybody understand it? His plan. So when you went to him this morning, did he tell you something? Did he remind you of something? Did he maybe remind you better bring your Bible to service? Maybe you better take notes so you can be an example and not a stumbling block to someone else? Why? Because paper doesn't forget? Amen? What did he tell you that was getting ready to happen today? Sometimes he'll even tell you what the title that he's going to speak on today. There's certain things that are happening. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? I want to submit to you. Not when I feel like it, but in everything I do. Submission is a consistency, not an availability. I'm going to say that again. Submission is a consistency, not an availability. It is consistent. Why? Because you'll miss what God's trying to tell you and do. And you know what will manifest? Torment, fear, anxiety, stress, and lack. Is everybody okay? Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Well, if you're not really submitting to God, you cannot resist the devil. It's bottom line. But I've been a believer, but you still can't submit to God. You cannot resist the devil. He'll con you and deceive you. He'll manipulate your desires and manipulate your feelings so that you do the will of the devil instead of the will of God. Is everybody okay? Submit to God, resist the devil. So one of the things we're going to have to do is relinquish ourselves. He gave us the rule. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow, right? Well, you're going to have to relinquish yourself, and you're going to have to abide, obey, and follow. You're going to have to what? Abide, obey, and what? Follow. So you're going to have to dismantle your will, your desires, and your time. I'm going to say it again. You're going to have to dismantle your will, your desires, and your time, so that everything's associated with His will, His desires, and His time. And when we begin to do that, there will be a manifestation of freedom. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that Christ, it says that we were made out of love. We were made out of love. God is love. And one of the areas of manifesting freedom is associated with manifesting His love. Love. You know, there's a difference between somebody love and lust. There's a difference of torment and love. There's difference. There's an oozingness that expresses and just rolls right out of you of love and freedom and joy. There's a total difference in those areas. There are people who are so miserable. And when, let me tell you, when you get bound by torment and you're miserable, you are in captivity and bound by the enemy. And in that, you become compromising, complacent, lazy. It's almost an area where you're paralyzed. And that's where the enemy wants to get you, in a paralyzed position, so that you can't make a decision according to the submission of God. Others have to make it for you. Or what happens is your decisions are determined on how you feel or the things that are going around you, instead of decisions that are determined by what God is saying to do. Again, without submission to God, you cannot resist the devil. It is impossible. And people will be thinking they're doing God's perfect will because it feels good, when the Lord hasn't said a thing about it. He hasn't even directed it. And people who live by their emotions and feelings are the most dangerous people, because you never know when they'll turn on you, and they will. Ephesians chapter 4. Manifesting freedom. Everyone say, freedom is learned. And trust is earned. Now, can you trust someone that's not free? No. Why? Because you know they're being manipulated, don't you? You never know what they're going to do next. In fact, you don't even know what they're not going to do when they're supposed to be doing something. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Would you go there, please? And He Himself gave some to what? Be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for what? The equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why it's important for assembling. There are no lone rangers in the body of Christ. The Bible says submit to one another in the fear of God. Verse 13. Till we all come to the what? Unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a what? Perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the what? Fullness of Christ. You cannot come to the fullness of Christ without submission to God. And you will not produce and manifest freedom. Why? It says in verse 14, that we should no longer be what? Children, believe me, there are believers that are 30 and 40 year believers that are still childish. Not childlike faith. Hello? Not childlike towards God, because He's my dad and I'm His son. I'm still a child to Him. But they are immature. There. Look at it. He says, so that we should no longer be children. Why? Because what happens to children? They're what? Tossed to and fro. What are they tossed to and fro? By what they feel. And carried about with every wind of doctrine. Anything they hear. By the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking what? We're going to be speaking what? Truth and love. That we may what? Grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth to the body for the edifying of itself in love. So God has given offices in the body of Christ to submit to. You know, many people can't, look at, if they can't submit to an office in the kingdom, they're not going to submit to God. They may think they're going to, but they can't. Even the word warns us, if you can't submit to the things of man, how can you submit to the things of God? And how can, if you can't, if God can't trust you with the things of man, how can he trust you with the things of God? He won't. We want the fullness of Christ manifesting freedom. Freedom. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? And verse 5. Verse 4. 2 Corinthians 3, 4. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Is everybody there? Verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives. So it is the ministry of the Spirit. So that means if it's the ministry of the Spirit, there's an area where the Spirit of the Lord is. And if you'll go to verse 17, it says what? Now the Lord is the what? Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty or freedom. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So where the Spirit of the Lord is being rejected, there's bondage. Somebody get this. There's bondage. There's religion. There's torment. It ain't free. It's not free at all. And what we want is freedom. The world is looking for individuals that are manifesting freedom. Freedom. And the devil wants to bring people into bondage, so he does their will instead of God's will. Is everybody okay? Ephesians 3. In verse 14. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3:14. Would you read it with me? For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in what? In love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the what? The love of Christ. To know the love of Christ. Because when you truly know the love of Christ, you'll begin to produce and manifest freedom. Which passes knowledge, that you may be what? Filled with all the fullness of God. Now, look at this. Now, to him who's able to what? Do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. He's able to do anything that you and I ask, but there's a place where you must be abiding. Then you have the right to ask. But people are asking that have no right to ask at all. The only thing they need to ask for is forgiveness. Hello. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 13. Manifesting freedom. Well, if you're manifesting freedom, you know one of the fruits of freedom will be love. Love. Look at verse 4. What does it say? Would you read it with me? Love what? Suffers long. And it's kind. I get a lot of people that say, well, I've been suffering for the Lord. You've been suffering because you've been making wrong mistakes, not for the Lord. You've been suffering because you ain't been able to submit. There's a lot of people that don't even realize what they're getting into and they've gotten into that they're going to haven't even started suffering yet. Love suffers long and is what? Kind. Love does not what? Envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not what? Puffed up. Oh. Puffed up is associated with pride too, isn't it? So if you're going to do your will instead of God's will, are you full of pride? Amen. So that means you're not in divine order. Your house isn't divine order. You can't express divine nature. You can't manifest freedom and you can't express God's love. And you're certainly not going to get divine favor from God. Everything you're going to have to do is work for yourself. And it's a lot tougher, isn't it? Verse 5, does not behave rudely, does not seek its, would you read that with me again? Does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, never fails. Never. Love is a fruit of freedom. People have their own perspective of what love is. Self-suffering. Self-imposed. Self-martyrism. I suffer so hard for the Lord. Right, because you're so stinking disobedient. You haven't learned to submit yet. You're still doing your own thing. Still yakking at the mouth. What you speak is what you eat. What you eat is what you become. Still sowing corruptible seeds. Psalm 23. Now we all know we're in a shaking and a quaking, right? Amen. Is everybody there? Okay, read verse 1 with me, please. The Lord is my what? Is he really? The word shepherd here is associated with Lord over my life. In other words, he's the one that guides me. He's always before me. I'm not a man pleaser, I'm a God pleaser, and man is not going to influence my relationship or decision with God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? I won't want. Why? Because I got it all. I'm in need of nothing. And whatever I'm in need of, I know that somehow he's going to bring it one way or another. I'm just keeping alert, maintaining a consistency, staying sober, vigilant, so that I don't miss. So I'm going to keep him in front of me. Because what he's going to do is go, look. See, if I'm looking at him, he's going to go, look. Oh, got it. This is relationship. See, relationship has no assumption. None. Faith is not assumption. Faith is spiritual sight. Well, I'm walking by blind faith. Yeah, you're blinded, all right. And your faith, there's none, because there's no such thing as blind faith. Well, I'm going to buy this on faith. I'm going to get married on faith. I'm going to go here on faith. I'm going to open this business by faith. Well, did God tell you and show you? And did you get revelation, illumination, and confirmation? Yeah. Well, let me tell you, the devil knows your address, your phone number, and he can text you anything at any time. And you're, oh, that's it. That's not what the word says. It says that God has given us offices in the kingdom. Listen, my confirmations came. I got revelation from God. I got illumination and confirmation from the word. By the word, and then I confirmed it with an office in the kingdom. And when I confirmed it with an office in the kingdom, you know what? I don't manifest it. He does. Come on. He does. I don't have to. He does. That's submission to God to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The Lord is my shepherd. I won't want. Why? Because I got it all. I'm not in need of anything. I know he'll provide whatever it is. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the water. Another pastures to eat, waters to drink. He restores my soul. He sets my soul in divine order to be able to interpret what he's saying to me. He leads me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. Why? Because my heart is set to submit to him. See, I surrender my spirit, soul, and body and flesh to him, not for my will nor my purposes, but so that he can express himself through this emptied vessel and I can become his witness. We got to look at ourselves and examine, am I his witness? Is my decisions according to his witness? Or is it according to my own? Who am I truly following? Am I truly being led by the Spirit, or am I being led by a desire? Or with other people's opinion? Hello? Is everybody okay? No want or lack in freedom. It's called the freedom realm. Hello? It's the glory realm, where we know that we have it all. In John chapter 8, you are manifesting freedom. John chapter 8. In verse 31. Is everybody there? Is everybody okay? Amen. How many of y'all want to manifest freedom? Hallelujah. Praise God. And those that don't want to, that's okay. You must work out your own salvation. Verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who what? Believed him. What's the word believe mean? Follow. Jesus said to those Jews who followed him, what did he say to them? If you what? If you abide in my word. Now, he's not talking about his written word. Do you understand that? That's an attribute of it. He's talking about, he's standing in front of them talking to them. Does everybody get it? They didn't have a Bible. He said, if you abide in my words, in other words, there's relationship, there's communication, it's you and him. Are you watching him speak to you? If you abide in my words, you are my disciples. Indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Why will you know the truth, and it will make you free? Because you're abiding with the person that's speaking to you, so you're going to practice what he tells you. You're going to put it into action. See, so many people think that, oh, if you abide in my word, they think it's the word written. No, it's in his voice right here. If you abide in, remember, he was standing in front of them, speaking to them. He wasn't writing them a letter and turning his back. Here, if you abide in my word, then you'll see that. No, face to face. That's relationship. And I encourage you, if you don't have that, get it. Get it, because you're going to miss many things that God is trying to do. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Psalm 146. Psalm 146, starting at verse 1. What does it say? Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, if you can't praise the Lord, you're bound. Big time. If you can't sing to God, there's something wrong with you. Big time. If you don't have a desire to get into God's presence, there's no relationship at all. None. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will what? Praise the Lord. While you have breath on this side. See, the enemy, when you are bound, you don't want to even come to fellowship. You don't want to get in God's presence. You stay away as much as possible. You have to stay busy. It's called demon management. You're trying to manage your demons. But eventually, they will take you out. It's just a matter of time. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your what? Trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth, and that very day his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the what? Prisoners. Wait a minute, it started out with praise the Lord, then it went to what? He gives freedom to those who are bound, who are prisoners. Again, if you're not, if there's something ain't right, if you don't have a desire to get in God's presence or assemble, something's not right. And that is a spirit. Could be a spirit of religion, could be a spirit of fear, but it is a demon that's interfering with you. Why? Because I know, I've experienced it. And I see it happen all around, all the time. You know, many times, believe me, I don't feel like coming to service sometimes. Sometimes I want a break. But I love to go get broken. Because when I'm broken and I feel his presence, man, when we were worshiping today, I mean, it was like the second song, all of a sudden, boom, he shows up and I'm like, oh. And I told him, I love when you show up. See, there are so people that are so hard and so dull. They've been away so long. They're so bound up. They can't even sense when he shows up. They They can't. They're not sensitive to know when he's even there. And he's there. And that, when you acknowledge that he's there, then he gets closer. He lets you know you're my daughter. You're my son. I love you. And man, you just melt. You can't function. I mean, that's all you want to do is just fall right on him. And see, this is relationship and love affair. But if you struggle, look at the devil fights us to get in God's presence and to assemble, of course. Why? Because the devil fears you. He knows that if you know who you are, he knows if you're filled, you can see better, hear better. He knows that you can obey. He knows. Now, you can come to presence 14 times a day, come to the service 14 times a day, but never enter in. That's why you must humble yourself and set your heart to understand, to go after him. Amen? Because there are people that have been coming to services for years and are still bound. There are people that are reading the Bible are still bound. Because they really never humbled themselves. Far be it that they should admit that they might be wrong or deceived. Not me. Oh, hallelujah. Look at verse 8. What does he do? He not only gives freedom to the prisoners, then he does what? Opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the what? Righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. If your life is upside down, there's something ain't right. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise, praise, praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 5. Manifesting freedom. Man, there's freedom in worship. Galatians chapter 5. Well, I feel more comfortable working instead of worship. Because that's your God. Hello? I feel more comfortable. Whatever it is, I feel more comfortable. That's not the spirit of comfort. That's a spirit of torment that you have to stay busy to feel comfortable. That's demon management. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. What does it say? Stand fast, therefore, in the freedom or liberty by which Christ made us free. And do not be what? Entangled again with the yoke of what? Bondage. What's he saying? Don't do that again. Stay away. And then he starts talking about, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you are circumcised. He's talking about the bondage of religiosity. Christ will profit you nothing. You know, he's saying, look, your works are don't mean anything. If you don't know who you are, if they're not his works, does everybody get it? See, our works don't mean anything. His works mean everything. Our decisions don't mean anything. His decisions mean everything. See, everything that you and I are doing is exchanging our life for his. If we're not exchanging our life for his life, then there's something not right. People complain about money and all kinds of other things. When they lose sight that they're laboring unto the Lord. See, when you begin to labor unto yourself, you'll watch if you've been skipped a nickel or a penny. Oh, my check's short, 2 cents. We labor unto the Lord. That's what our laboring is. We go to labor unto the Lord. And when we labor unto the Lord, he does far above all we could ever ask or think. But I have bills. Well, you take care of God's bills first. He'll take care of your bills. Hello. Is everybody okay? So there are things that will bring us back into bondage. The works of the flesh, amen. Accursed items bring us back. Rebellion brings us back into bondage. The ways of the world bring us back into bondage. Rejecting God's will brings us back into bondage. Associations and relationships that are not godly bring us back into bondage. Lust after money, which all evil is. Those love money. They think that money is going to do everything. You know, when I had nothing, I was fulfilled. I had cardboard boxes in my, that was my living room furniture with my wife when we got remarried. But we had, to us, it was everything. Living room furniture is cardboard boxes. It was great. But, and then God began to provide. I mean, furniture would show up on my front lawn. Things would begin to happen. Why? Where did I go? The Lord is my shepherd. I won't want. Lord, you said I won't lack anything. You'll provide all of my needs according to your riches and glory. And far above all I could ever ask or think, because you said you'd give me life and life abundantly. And I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm blessed at every spiritual blessing. So you're going to make way. You're going to make way. But I got to stay in that divine position. I got to stay in that divine attitude. And be in gratefulness. And not in fear or worry, because that's where the enemy accesses and steals. Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to labor for you. I know that you'll send what's supposed to be done. And when you send, it will not only will I get revelation, but I'll get confirmation. I'll get approval that this is the right thing to do. I'll know that I know that I know that I know. Hello? Is everybody okay? So we don't want to go back into the entanglements again, do we? Go to Proverbs 29. Is everybody okay? You all right? Are you getting this? Manifesting freedom. I'm not going to bring you through the whole thing I have here, but just a couple things here. Hallelujah. Proverbs 29. Glory to God. Verse something. Whoa. Verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Is everybody there? We all must speak this together. Where there is no revelation. Where there is no revelation. In other words, this is a revelation from the throne of God. Boom! It's a revelation. See, people think that illuminations are revelations. No, they're not. Revelation is different. Jesus said, who do they say that I am? And everybody said this, 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 and this. That was illumination. Then he said, well, who did they, he said, first of all, who did they say that I am? And they all gave him illumination. And then he said, who do you say that I am? Only one person got revelation. None of them got revelation. Everybody else had illumination, but nobody got revelation. But Peter, and he said, you are the Son of God. The living Christ, the anointed one, the carrier of the eternal presence, power, and truth. You are God himself. And Jesus said, that's right, Pete. And no man's told you this, but you heard this from my Father. Why? Because that's where revelation comes from, the Father. Revelation comes from where? The Father. Look at it says, where there's no revelation, the people cast off what? Restraints, things that restrain them. We're to keep things that restrain us from being led by how we feel. Look at the world's got a much, you're going to find illumination through all kinds of opinions of men. People are going to try and pair you up with people, set you in a course here, set you in a course. Man, you need to do this. Oh, this one's for you. Oh, this one's for you. There's a bunch of matchmakers out there. Oh, this job's, oh, this. But it's not revelation. Revelation comes from the Father. When there's a revelation, then there's a confirmation of an illumination, a confirmation from the body of Christ, his offices. And you know what will happen? A manifestation will come. But again, when you reject those things, you bring a curse on yourself. Is everybody okay? When you reject them, you bring a what? Curse. A curse is like a legal document that the devil has. It says, I can access that house, that family, and that person anytime I want. Just because it didn't happen today doesn't mean it won't happen tomorrow. And because it doesn't happen tomorrow doesn't mean it won't happen a year from now. But it will. So we need revelation, right? Revelation. Then confirmation, illumination, and God will manifest. And one of the things we need is to manifest the freedom that Christ has made us so free. And without true relationship, it won't be there. Psalm 15. So don't let man be your revelation. Hallelujah. Psalm 15. Let's speak it together. Lord, who may abide in your what?
Tabernacle.
Who may dwell in your what?
Holy hill.
He who what? Walks uprightly. Who works righteousness and speaks the truth in his own heart. In other words, he examines himself. Who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, and whose eyes a vile person is despised. In other words, they don't want to associate with rebellious ungodliness. I don't want to associate with outer quarters. I want them in, bringing them in to the holy place. The only time I go associate with outer quarters is to bring them in. I'm not going to fellowship with them. I'm going to bring them in. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who what? Those in outer court do not fear the Lord. He's still their Savior. That's it. He's not their Lord. When he becomes your Lord, then there's a fear of the Lord. He who swears to his own heart and does not what? Change. He doesn't flips. He stays the same, on course, laboring unto the Lord, manifesting freedom. Doesn't get swayed by money, circumstances. Doesn't get swayed by men. Stays on course, is stable, consistent, and unmovable. These are what God wants us to get to and associate with. Verse 5. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the what? Innocent. He who does these things shall what?
Never be moved.
Never be moved. And you will consistently manifest freedom. Amen? Is everybody okay? And I'm going to close somewhere. I think it's in, oh, John chapter 15. Manifesting freedom. You can't manifest freedom until you expose darkness, right? You got to sever yourself from those areas. Remember, it's not what you do, it's who you are. Who you really are. Do you really know who you are? Or are you being tossed to and fro by what people are trying to tell you who you are or influenced? It's what God says. That's what living in the future is. What God tells you who you are. The enemy always wants you to live from the past. That's why you get with people and they're still reminding you of your past. Some people need to be reminded of their past because they haven't changed yet and their past is still present. John chapter 15. Is everybody there? In verse 15. It says what? If you love me, keep my command. Oh, I'm sorry. No longer do I call you what? Servants. For a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you what? Friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear what? Fruit. What fruit is that? Freedom. Manifesting what? Freedom. And that your fruit should remain. And that whatever you want, ask the Father in my name, he may what? He may give you. See, so abiding, obeying, following, then you can ask. See, there is a place where we have a right to ask, and there is a place where we don't have a right to ask. Amen? And that's that place where your relationship with the Lord will discern. You'll know. Remember, the Spirit will guide you to all truth. He will tell you things to come. That's why if there's truly that relationship, the Lord is before you, he'll say, look, here. He'll give you vision. He'll visit you in dreams and visions. Now, you don't want an enemy can come in you in dreams and visions, but you'll have a discernment to determine what's of God and not of God. What's holy, what's not holy. What's God's time? Again, we must dismantle ourself of desire, of will, and of time. So it's his, not ours anymore. Amen? And then the manifestation of freedom will come and people will know that you're a son or daughter of the Most High. Amen? Because the world is looking for a way out and they don't even know what they're looking for. Father, we give you all glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you for your word today. Let the seed be protected by the blood. Let it grow and manifest and bear fruit for your glory. I pray, Father, today that the impartation directed by your Spirit would grant us true vision and a reality of how much you truly love us unconditionally. And try to guide us in every bit of truth and not in of assumption. That we may manifest your freedom. And people will see you because you're expressing you through us in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.